All right. We had 19 minutes left on the recorder, so I switched it into MP3 mode.
All right. Oh, did you catch the tail end of me saying that I was a heterosexual woman? Because that would have been a good opening.
I don't think so, but we got that.
Well, I mean, it's funnier when it's out of context and only half of a sentence.
Okay, let's pretend we're restarting the podcast
now. Okay, so we're talking about Life is Strange.
No, don't give him that. Just say, I pushed the button to start recording.
But what I said was...
No, you just say it.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
pursued a heterosexual relationship in that game as a straight woman.
Welcome to GDC Hot Dog.
Sure. But see, it's not funny anymore because you made me say the whole sentence.
I think it's fucking hilarious.
It's pretty funny.
From now, that voice clip will be excerpted and edited out of context to destroy my presidential candidacy.
Good. That's cool. Every other candidate at the time will be a millennial as well.
Oh, so y'all be running.
Exactly.
Are you technically millennial?
No.
Are you millennial trash?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a millennial. I'm 36.
Yeah, which makes you a millennial.
No.
No, he's too old.
Okay,
fuck
what
you.
What generation are you then?
May I have the ticket, please?
I don't give a shit.
Okay. If you're not Gen X, according to the mass media today, you're a millennial.
I don't believe in the mass media.
Well, they're the ones who get to write that
history.
They don't exist.
Mm-hmm. Thousands of years from now.
I am the mass media. We're doing a podcast right now.
Yes. I think you've misunderstood what the word mass means.
Have you looked at my scale recently?
It's like 1-to-1, right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's my aspect ratio.
Okay.
Wow, I'm... Yeah.
All right. According to this map, you need to go forward for a while.
Okay, I can do that. There's an accident up there.
Well, don't run into anybody.
Well, no, you can see the clock.
12:06. It's only 10:44.
But it will be 12:06 by the time we get there.
I'm not looking forward to this drive.
What? Why?
Because it'll take an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's what it took this morning. By the way, I did find my wallet, obviously.
Good.
It was kicked under the couch.
I bet you it was a cat.
I bet it was, too. So I'm not upset. I just need to remember to check
tomorrow. They thought it was a cow.
Yeah, it is. I don't think it's real leather, so probably not.
Good enough to fool the cat, though.
I don't know.
Cats
much.
Have a very astute sense of smell.
Are they good at differentiating leather from pleather?
They're really good at differentiating leather from lace.
Uh-huh.
I mean, aren't most people?
By smell? I don't know.
What was the last name of that guy in that song?
I don't know what you're talking about at all.
The song Leather and Lace.
I'm just thinking of Leather Goddesses of Phobos by Steve Moretzky.
Uh-huh. Do you know where Phobos is?
It's in Doom 2.
Okay. Doom 2 is your favorite RTS.
Oh, every time people talk about Dune, the RTS, I think, oh yeah, I love that seminal first-person shooter.
Dune? Sandworms?
Yeah, exactly. They're like,
Shai Hulud.
No, I'm talking about Doom. And when I say Doom, no, Doom. And then I realize they're actually saying Dune.
It's
with an
N. You have to say Frank Herbert or like it.
Frank Herbert's seminal science fiction masterpiece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doom 2.
Yeah.
George Romero's... Frank Herbert's masterpiece, George Romero's Doom.
Actually, Doom 3 has one of my favorite depictions of hell.
Doom 3?
Yeah.
I remember...
That was the game where you couldn't hold a flashlight and a gun at the same time, right?
I didn't say I loved the game, but their depiction of hell was, like, pretty good. There's some spots where you're, like... walking on these horrible floating lava rocks, and there's, like, souls flying past you. It was great. It was very classical, but it was still engaging, and I liked it.
I remember that being my favorite part of the game and wishing there was more of it.
Yeah.
I thought that the best depiction of this was in noted video game Dante's Inferno.
I played that a few months ago.
Yeah, I know. Because you and I talked about it for a really long time.
Oh yeah.
So, and then you rented it from Gamefly.
That makes sense.
I heard it was just a shittier God of War.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. I knew that because I was all excited. I'm like,
was
oh,
Virgil
yeah,
in
using,
that game?
Using classical Italian
mythology. Yeah, he was like the tutorial guy.
Huh. It'll be rad. And then no one ever told me it was not rad.
Well, you know, the biblical imagery. Are you going right-ish
there?
Yes.
Okay.
The biblical imagery actually was pretty rad. It just wasn't a very good game.
Yeah.
But neither was God of War.
That was the
Dante's
Inferno.
God of War
Inferno.
Was great.
Well, then maybe you'd really like Dante's
God
Inferno.
Of War.
Dante's Inferno was the game that John Riccitiello brought to show us about how games could be poetry.
Really?
Right, because it's based on a poem, right?
Oh, man, that's bad. I hope that was a joke.
No, it was not. He actually, like, had some really good points and had a lot of, like, good things to say, but he led with Dante's Inferno, and I was just like, guy, like, I understand where you're going with this, but nobody else here plays video games. This is a room full of creative writers and poets.
You think that they don't play video games?
I know they don't. I know them. We have class together.
Do you talk about the video games they don't play? Because they might
surprise
you.
Yes. They all said that they don't know anything about video games.
I mean, most
although
people...
I think Alejandro was there, so he probably knew what was going on.
Yeah, Alejandro totally plays video games.
He showed up.
So, was John... This was, like, post his position at EA.
This was, like, 3 months ago.
Right, okay.
This was... He just, like, came because he's on the board of directors at the cinema school.
Right.
Where I work.
In a half mile, use the middle two lanes to take the
that place that gives me a job so I can buy food.
Get that?
Yeah, go cool. Straight. Get a freeway.
He's a cool guy. I liked talking to him.
Yeah, I mean, his tenure at EA produced, like, some of the most interesting games of that generation... And the least successful EA games of that generation.
Yeah, like Mirror's Edge. Or Brutal Legend.
Dead Space.
I didn't like Brutal Legend.
Dead Space was not unsuccessful.
Dead Space did okay.
It warranted
two sequels.
Yep.
Dead Space was okay.
No, three sequels.
Three sequels?
No, it depends if you count, like... Are you counting Extraction on the Wii?
Yeah, which
okay,
did really well and then got ported to the PS3.
I thought that sold like shit.
It did well enough that they felt it was worth porting to the PS3.
Well, that was because they were desperate to put it on another platform to see if it would sell there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because I know that
like,
they
you
also...
You can look this up right now.
That sort of game doesn't sell on the Wii.
I don't know.
No,
the
it's
House
way
of,
more fun to just argue
the
about
The House
it.
Of the Dead Overkill sold, like, hotcakes on the Wii.
Yeah.
House of the Dead is so fucking classic. That's like...
That sold well enough to get a PS3 port and then the Typing of the Dead port on a... PC.
I love the Typing of the Dead.
The Typing of the Dead Overkill is not as good as the original Typing of the Dead.
Typing of the Dead was just one of these, like, weird games. You're like, why does this exist? But it's great. I was enthralled
but
as
you
a
know,
child. It
felt
subversive to me, but I was very sheltered.
I was very disappointed with the Typing of the Dead Overkill in the you know how in the original the dudes, instead of having guns, wore those giant typing contraptions around their necks?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, they didn't do that in Overkill.
Really?
Yeah, and I was very upset. Also, in the original House of the Dead Overkill, if you continually kill dudes without missing a shot, you rack up a combo, and it runs through, like, combo tier, so it's, like, brutal, merciless, like, unstoppable, and the highest tier is Gorgasm, and it replaces your entire, like, status area of the screen with a giant flowing American flag until you lose your combo.
That's kind of great. I don't remember that part.
Yeah, well, it's really, really difficult to achieve Gorgasm, but in the Typing of the Dead, it doesn't do that. There's no American flag, and the lead on that project was on my podcast as a really early guest, and I was like, all right, we gotta level us with us. Why did you guys remove the American flag from the game? And he was just like, what are you talking about? There was no American flag in that game. And I explained it to him, and he said, you know what? I bet you that the reason that's not in the game is because the build that they gave us to port to the typing engine was the UK release. And so they just didn't have it in there. Because it wouldn't have made any sense.
Wait, the flag was integral to the combo system?
No, the flag was, it replaced your score and all of, like, their combo stuff, like, the graphic overlay.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But that graphic overlay is not, apparently does not exist in the British version of the game, because why would it?
Well, because even in the UK, the American flag represents gun violence.
Sure. I think it's supposed to be, like, a good thing when that happens.
It's a funny thing either way.
Yeah, it was hilarious the first time we saw it. My friend and I think that game was $20 new, which was a really good price. But yeah, we split the cost of that and played through the entire thing in one sitting, and then we played through the entirety of the director's cut in one sitting immediately after.
What was different in the director's cut?
The director's cut is just way longer. Like, the levels are maybe, like, 1.5 to 2 times as long.
Like, more enemies?
And, like, you go through parts of the level that you didn't see before.
Right.
It's just, like, the director's cut is the better way to play the game. But they make you unlock it for some dumb reason. They're just giving you that right away. Probably to double the life of the game. Anyway, that game is great. 100%.
I liked it until I got to the part where it didn't acknowledge that I'd killed everybody and let me continue. The camera was just, like, looking back and forth at nothing until I quit the game.
Huh. Yeah, that was a bug that we ran into.
How'd you get around it?
We rebooted the game and it was fine.
I tried that. It didn't work. It happened the second time, too.
Oh, did you try it a third time?
Nope.
Was it in the swamp level?
No, it was earlier.
Ran into it in the swamp. Where it was just like, oh, you killed all the enemies on screen. I guess we're just going to stand here now.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
I think they fixed that in the typing of the dead. Overkill.
That's where I found it. Like, when I played it on the Wii, with the pointing thing, I didn't run into it.
Oh, yeah, we ran into it on the Wii, but then we rebooted it and it was fine.
Right,
I bet you it got patched in a fix if it was on the PC, because, like, Steve...
I should check it out again, because I did enjoy it.
It's also a lot of fun in multiplayer.
Do you each get half the keyboard?
No. But it presents you one... So, there are a bunch of, like, silly things you can turn on, like, both of you can be typing the same word at the same time, and you can turn on, like, if I make a mistake, reset the word to the beginning, so I have to get it all right at once.
Yeah.
And if you turn all that stuff on, you have... Both players are presented with the same word, but one player typing is considered an input... And another player typing is the same input, so you're just constantly stumbling over each other, trying to type it, but resetting each other's progress.
Sounds awesome.
It's really funny. It really promotes good teamwork.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I played through a lot of it with Paul.
In a mile, you're going to take the 580 East. You need to be in the right three lanes.
Paul and I played through probably like half of the typing of the dead in goof mode.
Oh, by the way, this is like the November episode. In case you
No, this would be the October episode.
Okay, in case you didn't know what month it was listening to this.
October.
Happy October. You are currently in the best month of the year.
It is a good month.
It was a very good month.
It's got Halloween, and it's got Oktoberfest.
No, that's in August.
No, it's not.
September. It's got, it's also got, I guess El Dia de los Muertos is the day after
Okay,
Halloween.
Fine. October is in Oktoberfest, then.
Okay, October... What are you guys dressing up as for Halloween this year?
Ricardo Zacconi.
Probably Rey? From Star Wars.
Oh, from Star Wars. Okay.
Not Rey from Evangelion.
Okay.
No,
bad.
I like
speaking
the
of,
yeah.
Speaking
I like
of
the
Life is Strange.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that game was made by Don't Nod.
No.
Who made Remember Me before this.
Oh,
that was terrible.
Yeah, well, it had some interesting ideas, though.
But it was terrible.
Yeah, I don't know if it was terrible.
Bad.
It was merely okay. But it was published by Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this amazing scene. I think I told you about this, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Where, in the beginning of the game, where, you, like, walk into your dorm room and you, like, look at a poster or, like, a post-it note or something and your character says in their internal monologue, oh, man, We really need to plan a movie night so we can watch Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within.
Oh,
I love
right.
that movie. I was like, that must be like, and you know, she never says anything like completely unbelievable like that again that make you believe she's like not believe that she's a real human.
I would have loved that movie if I was like six in all fairness.
But I was like, good work. Good. Because I don't think that there's an actual 18-year-old alive who enjoys Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within.
I don't think there's a person alive over the age of 10 who likes that movie.
Well, everybody would be people who loved Final Fantasy VII when they were 14.
I did not.
Yeah.
I have never enjoyed Final Fantasy VII.
But there's a large number of people who did, and those are the exact same people who probably saw and thought they liked that movie.
Wait.
I'm actually really excited for the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Wait, I have a stupid question. What was the movie that was called Final Fantasy, but it was like a dude in a trench coat in space fighting like a transparent monster that stole your soul?
AI.
Titan
AE.
No, not that. It was called Final Fantasy something or other.
The Spirits Within.
Was that really what it was? Because there was also like the actual Final Fantasy movie that had like Cloud and the like clone.
You're thinking,
Jesus.
Yeah, that's Advent Children.
Oh, okay. I'm getting them confused. I don't know which one's which. I've seen them both, but you know.
Anyway, yeah, I'm potentially really excited for Final Fantasy VII, because apparently they're making it not a JRPG.
Really?
Yeah, from what I've heard,
I heard that too, yeah.
It's episodic, number one.
Yeah, though that seems like a bad idea.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, like, if they're just taking the story of Final Fantasy VII and remaking, and like making an entire new game around it, it could totally work as an episodic game.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. What I mean, the reason it's a bad idea is that nobody is going to play more than the first chapter of that game.
I potentially would play the whole thing.
Well, none of the people who would buy that game because they were fans of the original now have time to play a JRPG.
Sure.
That's actually
yeah.
a good point.
So, and like, it's going to have all real-time combat?
They're going to buy the first episode and then not the rest until they finish the first one because, like, why would they?
Like
if they made the whole game and sold the whole game in one package, they'd make a lot more money.
Anyway, like, everything I hear about it that makes it sound like not Final Fantasy VII in any aspect but the story makes me more interested in it.
Me too, except that I remember the story to Final Fantasy VII being really terrible.
I don't remember anything about it because I never played that game.
Ares dies!
Yeah, I know that. I played it a year or two ago for, I don't know, like an hour, and I got to the Shinra base dungeon and then stopped playing.
Right.
Yeah, I tried playing it once.
The game was too ugly for me to continue playing.
Yeah.
And when the graphics are a turnoff for me, that means that there is nothing else keeping me engaged.
Yeah.
High street in 3 miles.
Okie dokie.
Like, I think I enjoyed Final Fantasy. I don't know. I'm gonna take that back. I think I got more out of Final Fantasy VIII. Than 7, because at 8 I at least had strong opinions about, even though I significantly disliked it.
I liked Final Fantasy Adventure on the Game Boy.
I liked Final Fantasy 13.
Was that the MMO?
No, that was the one that was a hallway. You just walked down the hallway.
Everyone since 10 was a hallway.
No, this was like literally just hallways until you hit the 40-hour mark and then there was an open world with side quests. And that was too late in the game for most people to reach it.
Oh, was that the one for PS3?
PS3 and Xbox, yeah.
Yeah,
with the pink-haired
that.
Girl. I really enjoyed that game because I thought it had a really cool, interesting battle system. And I could just have, like, I just did those battles over and over. And it didn't matter to me that there wasn't any more game other than combat, because the combat was very compelling to me.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, like, I thought that was, like, a real success. They designed a battle system and then just didn't need to make any more game.
Yeah, after 13 games, they finally found a fun battle system.
Yeah, it was because the computer did it for you.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the computer did all of the choices. You just hit auto-battle.
Yeah, I played Die Hard starring Bruce Willis, and it was very similar to that.
But, no,
wait,
so...
Really?
so
I can't tell if you're making this up or not.
Listen, no,
that was a movie.
Yeah. So what happened? So the battle system in Final Fantasy 13, you can, like, you could issue all the commands yourself, but you could also just hit auto battle, and it will pick what is probably not the most optimal in every situation command, but, like, is plenty good enough. But every character has multiple classes, and they can change what their class is mid-battle whenever you want. So, and that does not happen automatically. So by taking all of the, like, micromanage what moves to use decisions out of the player's hands, you are left playing a game where you're constantly having to switch your character party, like, the class of each of your characters, because each class has a different function in battle, and you need more than the number of party members they give you. So you're just so you're doing this, like, high-level strategic, like, class dance.
In the middle of a battle?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Every character has, I think, 3 and then 6 classes, but there's a lot of overlap.
Huh.
There's, like, so, and the way that the battles work is it's not like a normal Final Fantasy game where you just, like, deal damage until the enemy's hit points are gone. Enemies have a bar that you fill up, and until that bar is full, the damage they take from any attack is very low. And the bar is constantly draining because it's a real, you know, it's the Final Fantasy, like, active time battle, so time is going by even if you're not doing anything.
Right.
So you have, like, a character class that is really good at building up that bar, but the bar depletes really fast. And then you have a character class that is really good at slowing the rate at which the bar drops.
Right.
And then you have, like, the buff class and the heal class or whatever, you know, more normal classes. So you're, and then when the bar fills, the enemy enters, like, a break state and can't attack for a couple seconds, and then you switch to the class that is really good at doing, like, lots of really high damage.
Right.
So, I thought it was a really interesting, you know, it starts out slow because you don't have access to lots of classes, but by the end it's just this really intricate dance of stance swapping that is not, like, a thing that they have in another Final Fantasy game. Maybe it's, like, 12, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, like, I found it compelling enough to finish Final Fantasy 13, and how often does that happen?
That's never happened to me.
Yeah, but how often does that happen with any video game?
Yeah.
But video games? Who plays them?
Yeah.
Certainly not game
developers.
This is
Final Fantasy 13 hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I've been trying to finish more things.
Yeah.
I've been buying so many short games and, like, being like, okay, I'm going to finish this, like, Firewatch, to then a day. I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah, in like an hour, right?
Short games are awesome. I don't know why you wanted more House of the Dead.
Because I was in high school.
Oh, right. No, that makes sense. You're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did I have to do with my time?
Yeah, here's the street.
I remember it on the way in.
Actually, nice. I in high school, or was that, like, when I was home from college? What year did the House of the Dead Overkill come out?
I think that was, like, 2008, maybe?
Okay, so I would have been a senior in high school in 2008. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
No, I don't know for sure.
I don't even know if that's true. Was I a senior in high school in 2008? I don't think that that's true.
What year is it?
Listeners, write in if you know whether...
How old am I? I'm going to look this up. Google.com, how old am I?
Oh, there we go. This is us. Oh, everything hurts.
All right. All right, listeners, writers... Writers on the podcast.
Came out in 2009.
And your high school graduation came out in...
2009. So I was a high school senior.
Okay. With that established...
Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good night, everybody.
It's October for us, too, now. The end.